CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Charles Pellegrino, the author of The Last Train from Hiroshima, The Survivor's Look Back, also known as To Hell and Back. On the ground, Charlie, the bomb explodes up that valley. And I want to return to the theme that you explore in The Last Train from Hiroshima. There's a Mitsubishi plant in Hiroshima. There's a Mitsubishi plant in Nagasaki. One of your correspondents who inform you about what it was to survive two blasts, his name, I believe his name is Sumo Yamaguchi. What did he, how did he survive the first blast? How did he survive the second blast?
The first blast, when he was in Hiroshima, he was about a mile and a half away, a little more than a mile and a half away, actually in a field. There was a woman walking nearby him who had been wearing black. And he saw the flash. He didn't know what it was, but he knew it was something definitely bad because he heard the roar of a plane trying to get out of the way of the bomb it had just dropped. And the woman looked up. She saw the plane. He saw the plane. They both saw parachutes in the sky, which was the other plane, Luis Alvarez plane, dropping the monitoring equipment by parachute. They both knew something was wrong and dove for the ground. He dove into a water ditch. He had happened to be walking along a road next to a potato field, and he dove into a ditch in the ground and covered his ears and his eyes, and the flash arrived. And as far away as he was, it was actually the visible part of the spectrum, the light that we normally see that was strong enough to actually burn the flesh on one side of his arm and one side of his face and burn away the hair. But at that distance, there was just enough humidity in the air to equal being behind about 6 feet or 2 meters of water. And that shielded him from the gamma radiation, to some degree from the microwave surge and all that invisible radiation that can kill you. So water is actually better shielding than lead, and the atmosphere itself protected him from that. And then somehow the ditch he dove into was enough to shock cocoon him from the blast effects.
And the woman in black.
But he was still within, he never saw her again. And as the this huge bubble of compressed air finally collapsed in on itself and you had an implosion, he was lifted out of the ditch and landed some, he doesn't know how many feet away he landed, at least 20 or 30 feet away he landed. But for a while, he was actually floating on all this compressed air and dust, and he could see in the distance buildings rippling as if they were just the surface of water, and then all of the roof tiles flying toward him. Unfortunately, those tiles, every one of them missed him.
And 2 days later, he's taken the last train from Hiroshima to Nagasaki. Where is he when the bomb hits in Nagasaki?
Again, he's just within the fringe of Ground Zero. He's in one of the main offices of Mitsubishi, very large building, and he was explaining to his boss and about 20 to 30 other men exactly what happened in Hiroshima and what the flash was. And his boss was incredulous about the whole thing. He said, look, you got a bump on the head. You were injured. This could not have been one bomb that did all this damage. It's just American propaganda. But people listened when Yamaguchi said, slide the windows up so that there'll be less glass flying toward eye level if the bomb should detonate again here. And the moment you see a bright flash, you have less than a second. You've got to get down on the floor immediately. And his boss was saying, this is nonsense. This is just craziness. And then there was the flash. And everyone in that room followed the instructions he had just given. Everyone in that room survived, while almost the entire building around them just came apart and flew into the air. What saved that one office they were in was a steel and concrete stairwell that was behind the office facing the direction of the bomb. And that stairwell acted like almost like the prow of a ship or the front of a plane heading into supersonic air. Everything right behind it was safe. And the forces diverged. And that's one of these phenomena that we list under the shock cocoon effect. And everyone in that room survived.
Moramoto was another survivor, double survivor. Do I have his name right, Moramoto?
Yes, yes.
And he was
in Hiroshima.
He was with his family when the Nagasaki bomb hit. Is that correct?
Right. And in Hiroshima, he had been with two cousins very close to the hypocenter in a very tall mansion that his cousins owned, and the mansion collapsed around them, but they were shock cocooned again. Another one of those cases. You see it with tornadoes, you see it with atomic bombs, all very large sudden forces. Sometimes the safest place to be is closest to the detonation. For example, the dome in Hiroshima, that was practically right under the bomb, and it was still standing the next day. So Moramoto was describing the bomb to his wife, and he was back at his shop in Nagasaki and saying, when you see this bright flash, you have to get down immediately. And his wife was kind of bored a little bit by the whole description. His children were walking around the shop bored by what he was describing. And then the flash occurred, and he grabbed them, jumped on top of them, and there was a little, like a potato cellar or a supply cellar. The lid had been open. He pulled it open in the floor, said, if there's time, you dive into that. And he dove into it with his wife and his two children. And then the blast hit, and then they came up topside, and at waist level, his entire shop was gone. It had, in fact, been lifted off the ground and dropped across the street. Everything in the shop that was below waist level was still sitting there, including a teapot still sitting on the stove. And just another of these very strange shock cocoon effects that we still don't quite understand.
August 9th, 1945, in Nagasaki time. The book is Last Train from Hiroshima. The survivors look back. Charles Pellegrino is the author. When next we speak, the survivors over the next days and the American attack continues until. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.